When you fast, you make space to hear from God more clearly.
I think when you're in it, when you know the how, it's the why that keeps you in it.
Answered prayer is always to do with us. One of those reasons being, we are out of alignment with His will for our lives. Well, hey, welcome to Braveheart Talks. This is the first podcast of 2025, and we are going to enter this year with some great conversation. And I'm joined by my friend, Megan Rutledge, and we're just going to have some open and honest conversation, I think, all around prayer and fasting. We're going to talk about on this particular topic of podcast. And so I'm excited, Meg, to get going again.
I am. And we've got to start the podcast with that typical conversation you have with everyone at the start of a new year, although we're nearly, you know, at the end of Jan now, but we can still have this from last year. And what was like a highlight of the year or something, like a memory or a win from last year?
Wow. Yeah, last year. So I think last year there was a lot of travel in our calendar, which was kind of exciting and eye-opening. Braveheart, of course, one of my all-time highlights of every year. So from a spiritual perspective, it was the growth of Braveheart. And it was the ability and, you know, just the opportunity to be able to go out and make some new friendships and some connections and see a little bit of the world. And so that was really exciting as well. But I think, you know, it really was for me, it was the, that growth and energy and, you know, in Braveheart particularly.
Yeah. Second conference, it was good. You know, the first one's always like,
What are we doing?
Yeah. Second, we're like, okay, kind of know a little bit what we're doing now, and you could enjoy it a bit more.
Yeah, I sort of was panicking in the run up to it because I wasn't panicking. And but no, I just felt like God did something special in the room.
I love that, and that's very true. And we go again soon for conference number three. So, is that something that you're excited for this year? Is that like your main highlights? That's like quite soon in the year. So it's probably as soon as you enter a new year, your mind's there.
Yeah, I'm totally, as soon as we are on the other side, you know, when we step into that new year, it's like we are heading up towards conference really quickly. Yeah. So am I looking forward to that this year? I am. And it sounds so cheesy sometimes. So like, you know, so staged when you're saying, you know, I'm looking forward to conference, but it generally is something in my spirit that I know that God is doing something new. This year, I feel like we are almost like turning a new page. And I already know in my spirit what God's downloaded, some of the things that I believe is going to take place at conference this year. And I've been in conversation with our guest speakers. And so I'm so excited for what is coming up in May.
Nice. I can't wait. It's going to be a great year ahead. We won't even go into the conversation about New Year resolutions because I'm just like, definitely not stuck to mine already. Do you set them though?
No, I don't. Not really. I mean, I always have ambition and drive of what I want to achieve this year, but I don't set it out like a resolution. I don't always just wait for January. Like if I'm in November or October and I'm, you know, I feel change on the inside. It's better to know how God is directing and shaping your life, because then He's steering you into newness. And there's always things you need to work on yourself to be able to step into the new. And so whether that is your health or your weight, or whether it is your to upskill yourself in a certain area, or whether it's learning to be more patient, or whatever, God is always training, and it's always better to go with His changes for your life rather than you just getting a good idea in your mind and trying to change.
Yeah, trying to force it. Force it into place. But let's get on today's conversation then. Like you said, you've already introduced, we're going to be talking about prayer and fasting. And as a church, we always do this every January. We do 21 days of prayer and fasting together. So what is the, like, what's the importance, or do you think it's wise to sort of the start of the year to start your year with prayer and fasting?
Okay. I think the beginning of anything is special.
Yeah, it's true.
You never get to begin again. Okay, so the start of anything is really important. And for us as Christians, as Bible followers, we put God in the first of everything that we do. That's why when we get married, we have God first and central at the wedding ceremony. Yeah. It's the beginning of the marriage. It's why we dedicate our newborn babies. It's the beginning of their life. We're bringing them before God. We do it daily in prayer. We wake up of a morning and our morning starts with God. It's we're going to read our Bible or we're going to pray. And we do it at the beginning of every week, Sunday. We don't view it at the end of the week. We view Sunday as being the start of the week. And so the beginning of our week, we start by coming into the house of God and gathering with God. The start of every month after every payday before the next month kicks in, we honor God with our first 10%. Mm. And so January just seems, it's the start of our calendar year. So it only seems right that we right place God at the start again, because we will never get to begin the year again. And so we begin with prayer and fasting.
Yeah, I love that. And let's talk a little bit about fasting then first, and then we'll move on to prayer. Because I think for some listening, you know, it's quite a new concept, fasting. Like we hear it in the world a lot, like intermittent fasting and for health benefits. But let's talk about it from like a biblical point of view. And should someone who is maybe like a new believer look into fasting, or is it something just for like mature believers? They fast, you know, if I'm new to faith, and if they should start, if they're new to faith, where do they start?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't actually think fasting, the word fasting is not as alien as it used to be.
Yeah.
Because we all open apps on our phone and it's talking now about intermittent fasting and how fasting is good for the body, which is hilarious because it just shows us that God always knows what he was doing when he first introduced fasting thousands and thousands of years ago. Yeah. And now we're just discovering that, oh, actually there are health benefits to fasting. Mm. I think you can do fasting is for anyone who is a Bible believing, God fearing Christian. You're following God with your life. It doesn't matter if you've just been saved for one day, 1 week, 1 year or 10 or more. It's really a journey, a personal journey between you and God. I think, first of all, you need to ask yourself, why do I want to fast?
Because
we can kid ourselves. We can think, I want to lose some weight. That's my goal. That's my motivation. I know what I'll do. I'll call it a fast. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell people that I'm you know, praying or fasting for God, but actually my goal is to lose weight. Yeah. And so our motive has to be right. And there is something about fasting that shifts blockages. It opens up a way for God to speak into our lives, because the biblical fast was always done around food, because food is what fuels the body and food is what people live for. And in order to live, they need to eat. And so in biblical days, it would be a fast and they would forego meals. And there's all kinds of fasts when you go in the Bible, through the Bible. There's day fasts, there's 3 day fasts, there's 7 day fasts. Jesus did a 40 day fast. There's a Daniel type of fast where you're eliminating certain foods and you're just living off fruit and vegetables for a period of time. It's important that you ask God what kind of fast he wants you to do.
Yeah.
That's really important. You know, in this day and age, people choose to fast different things. Mm-hmm. So some people will choose, oh, I'm going to fast TV.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to fast, I don't know,
social
I'm
going to
fast social media, or I'm going to fast exercising. Or
imagine. I've been told I should not exercise this month.
You know, it's no good saying you're going to fast social media if it really doesn't bother you anyway and you're only looking at it once a week. Or you know, I'm going to fast exercising, but you haven't exercised since 1994 anyway. Do you know what I'm saying?
So are you saying them things are okay to fast if they are a sacrifice.
I think it's got to be something that is so personal to you. Yeah. The body craves food. It desires food. It needs food in order to function, in order to operate. Even a dying man will cry out for food, even though he knows he's dying. And so we have to deny ourselves of something that is really important to our flesh.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I could survive without that thing. So I'm going to fast that thing.
Yeah.
And that is what it is. It's denying your flesh so that your spirit can hear more clearly from God. Yeah. That's what a fast is.
Yeah.
So for anybody who's starting off on a fast, I think first of all, you should pray to God and ask God what kind of a fast he wants you to do and let him choose it for you rather than you choose it for you.
Yeah.
And then you need to decide how long you're going to fast for. Mm. And then it's whenever you desire that thing. So if you're desiring food or, you know, whatever it is you've eliminated from your diet, in those times, that's when you pray.
Yeah.
Because you see, we're such a feeling-based generation. Like, and we feed ourselves off our feelings.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we give ourselves whatever we are feeling like we want. And this is just putting some order, some godly order into you, where you should be driven and led by the Spirit, not driven and led by your flesh, which are your feelings.
Yeah.
And so what you're saying to your flesh is, no, you can wait. You're not going to die, but I am going to deny you something and you can wait because I'm going to spend this time seeking God.
Yeah. And you've talked a lot there, Em, about like the practicalities of it and how to get going with it. But I think when you're in it, when you know the how, it's the why that keeps you in it. Like if we're doing a 21 day fast, then it's like, that's quite a long time. And I, you know, I'm guilty. I'm like day two. Sometimes I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so hard.
Yeah.
And it's the why that will keep you going and committed through that fast. So you've briefly mentioned it there, but speak more about the why. Like, because some people, once they know the why and what God can do through a fast, it will excite them and it will keep them sustaining through that fast.
Yeah. So whenever we give our flesh whatever it wants, we enter into a state of complacency. You know, it's the slum after your meal. It's the fix you get after watching your Netflix. It's the, I just satisfy my body, my flesh with the things that feel good to me. But actually, when you're praying for something in your life, and it could be anything, anything that is really close to you, maybe you're in need of a healing. Maybe you are the single person and you're desiring to find that lifelong partner. It can be anything. Mm. Maybe you're just wanting to know what God's direction and purpose is for your life, and you just feel a little bit at a crossroads right now, not sure of what the decision is. When you fast, you make space to hear from God more clearly.
Yeah.
And so it opens your spiritual eyes. It opens your ears. We talk about prayer. We'll talk a little bit more about prayer later on. But prayer is not just us going to God and asking for our needs, but it is God telling us what he needs and he wants for us. But sometimes we're just too busy and too full of other stuff to be able to hear from him. And so when we, you know, void ourselves of some of the other stuff, it just makes space for us to be able to hear from God. And it's a sacrifice.
It is.
Because I'm giving up something that I don't want to give up. I don't choose to give it up easily. So I'm giving it up purposefully because I am saying to God, God, I'm intentional in pushing into you at this time.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, when Jesus came, he would never ask us to do something that he wasn't willing to do.
Absolutely.
And he fasted, and his was it the 41 days?
40 days.
The 40 days. So it's just an example. And you know, you girls can go and read that, find that scripture and, you know, see how he done it. But yeah, I think as well, it produces in you like some of the fruits of the Spirit. So self-control, like when you're fasting, like you said, you have to have that self-control to say no to what you'd normally say yes to. And I think even just being able to develop that spirit and nurture that, like that ability to have self-control, it's going to benefit other areas of your walk of life. You know, it's not going to benefit, you know, being able to read the Bible and pray. It helps in every area. So fasting's got lots of good things and benefits to do. So girls, try it if you haven't tried it before.
I mean, and just on that, I don't actually think you can do it without the fruits of the Spirit.
Yeah.
It's like you have to rely on the Holy Spirit. Mm. And I would just say to anybody, if you mess up in your fast, if you just, you know, start having coffee again when you've given up coffee, or you start eating again when you've given up certain food, and you've just sort of slipped back, because in January we do a 21 day fast, that's quite a long time. Mm-hmm. Then I would just say, don't beat yourself up.
Yeah.
Just repent, just right place God and get back on it straight away.
I love that. Well, prayer is quite linked to fasting, you know, prayer and fasting. So let's move on to talking about prayer then. You know, it's something, it's so pinnacle to our faith, but so many of us, you know, you spoke a message on Sunday on prayer, and you know, you mentioned how so many of us struggle with prayer. So why do you think that is? Why do you think so many of us who walk with God just struggle in this area that is so key to our faith?
Yeah, I think complacency is a big one.
Yeah,
like we know that God is with us always, but we just assume a lot. And we're not intentional enough. And if you want to build a relationship with someone, it doesn't happen accidentally. It only ever happens intentionally. Mm. You have to make a date to go out with that person. And then you have to sit and have conversation with that person. And you have to listen as much as you're going to talk in the relationship. And that's how you build a relationship with someone. And I think so often we want our relationship with God to just happen, and it doesn't. And so we get quite frustrated, because quite often we feel like we're talking to ourselves, we're not talking to God. But that happens because we're doing all the talking and we're not really spending time listening. And so the scripture tells us that Jesus retreated to be with his Father often. And in fact, when he was teaching the disciples how to pray in Matthew 6, he said, and read it in the Message translation, Matthew 6:6, it's brilliantly written. Jesus says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go and find a quiet, secluded place and just be on your own. And he says, be on your own as genuinely as you can.
Yeah.
Just be in that place. And it's really talking about just putting out all of the distractions.
Mm.
And so often we're just trying to pray on the go all the time. And there's nothing wrong with that, but you have to intentionally build a relationship with God throughout your Christian faith. And that takes time, and you have to have alone time with God, and you can have alone time. I walk the dog, you know, I'm always out walking with my dog. You can have your worship music on. You can have a chair in your bedroom. You can pull up on the side of the road for 5 minutes in your car, but whatever you do, just find that time with God.
Yeah.
I think we don't hear from God because we're easily distracted.
Yeah.
We're easily distracted by our thoughts run off thinking about the day ahead, what I need to do, where I need to be. And then we've lost that connection. We get distracted by the ping of our phone. My advice is, honestly, even if you've got your Bible app on your phone, when you're going to spend just time with God, put your phone out the room or just put it completely on do not disturb, because the ping of the phone leads to the scrolling on Instagram and you can be that bothered scrolling through everybody else's life. You're not making a personal investment into your own life and connecting with God like you ought to. We're very self-critical. You know, we talk to God and then we have these thoughts. Can God even hear me? What is the point? Why am I even saying this? My prayer sounds so stupid compared to everybody else's. You've got to get over that point of being your own worst critic. And so spending time with God doesn't just happen. You have to push through a lot of barriers to get there. Push through the barrier of distraction, push through the barrier of being your own self-critic, push through the barrier of feeling like you haven't got enough faith. Yeah. Feeling pushed through the barrier of just hearing yourself get through all of that and just say, no, like I am made in the image and the likeness of God. Mm. He's called me by name. He knows me. I'm a daughter of righteousness. I have right standing with him. He's concerned about me. He's interested in my every day. Therefore, I'm going to spend time in the company of my Father and strengthen myself in him daily.
Yeah. And playing a critic in this, you know, some people, especially when they're new to faith or they're exploring Christianity, they have heard them say before, like, things like, well, if God already knows our needs, like, what is the point of prayer? And I have heard that, you know, say multiple times, oh, God knows what we need. So why do we have to tell him? Why do we need to go in prayer? What would you say to someone who has got that opinion?
I would say that you're not intentional on building a relationship with God.
Yeah.
And so I have a relationship with my husband.
Yeah.
We've been married for a couple of decades now. And so I know Luke. I know what he likes to eat. I know where he likes to holiday. I know what he likes to watch when it comes to a movie. Like, I know the guy, really do know the guy. But if our relationship was just solely about me providing his needs based on what I knew about him, and he didn't converse with me in any way or interact with me in any way, then that's not really a true relationship. That's me having all the knowledge about him, but it's not really me intentionally building a relationship with him. So though I could give him everything he wanted, or he could give me everything I wanted, we still need to check in and make sure we're aligned with each other. Like, are we thinking along the same lines? Do you still love me like I love you? Are we still intentional on the plans that we have set out before us? Is this something that we are doing together? And I think we can really get out of alignment with God when we don't pray to God. God does know what you need, but he wants you to verbalize it. God walked up to a blind man. I mean, how obvious, how obvious would it be the man was blind?
Yeah.
But Jesus still said to him, what do you want me to do? Jesus asked the crippled man, had to bend down to him and get on his level on a mat on the floor and say to him, what do you want me to do?
Yeah.
And you read your Bible and you go, Jesus, like, that's really awkward. You can see he can't see. You can see he can't stand. Why are you asking the question? Because there's just something so important about us aligning ourselves with what God's will and God's purpose is for our lives. And he wants us, his children, to articulate to him, Jesus, I really need you to step into this area and do something for me. And then that's an agreement. Mm-hmm. He says, you've just come into an agreement with what I want for your life. Now I can work.
Yeah.
The problem is never on God's behalf, by the way. Unanswered prayer is always to do with us for various different reasons, but one of those reasons being we are out of alignment with his will for our lives.
Yeah, I love that. So intimacy and alignment is really what prayer is for.
Totally.
You said on Sunday in your message, Em, you were speaking all about prayer and you were encouraging, you know, us how can we not start our day with prayer? Basically, like, that is the one thing, like, how can we not start our day with God? But you said this statement, you said, giving God your time saves you time.
Yes.
So explain what you meant by that. Cause I thought, I wrote it down thinking, oh, I love that, but like articulate it.
Okay. Yep. Spending time with God saves you time. We all get the same amount of time allocated to us in a day. Do you ever look at some people and you're like, how are you doing everything that you're doing with the same amount of time that I have? I have become very aware, whether it's an age or a stage in my life or whether it's to do with a maturity in Christ, I'm not sure which it is, but I have become very aware of the amount of time that I waste. I waste time. I can procrastinate very easily. I don't think I'm any different than many of us. I think, you know, we say it all the time, the phone is a great way. We can scroll and 20 minutes has gone by. Mm-hmm. And all we're doing is just sticking our noses into everybody else's life and God's life. But you're wasting time on the life that I've given you to build. And so we can very easily waste time. But I have found that when I start my day with God, like we said at the very beginning, you only get to begin once. Mm-hmm. So each day that I wake up is the beginning of the day, and I will never get the start of that day ever again. I might get tomorrow if I'm blessed, but I won't get to do that day again. And so if I can start that day by, fueling and feeding myself with God, just literally, I will read a portion of my Bible. I'll do a daily reading that I'm doing, maybe a little devotional or something. And then I'll just talk to God. Maybe I'm just talking about the day ahead of me. Maybe I'm just thanking him for the day behind me. Maybe I'm just giving him gratitude. Maybe I need strength from him for whatever I'm facing in that day. But it really is just don't make it into something you can't sustain. So if you can do 5 minutes, do 5 minutes. If you can do 7 minutes, do 7 minutes. If you can afford 15 minutes of a morning, do 15 minutes. It's not the only time you'll talk to God in the day, but it's just starting in the right way. I'll tell you a funny story. So if we can, and so when, sorry, let me just finish answering that question. When you start your day by giving God time, it saves you time because you become more productive, you become more fruitful, you're faster, you're sharper, you're clearer in your thinking, you're brighter in your mind. And I just know that when God is before me, I'm just able to snap into doing what I need to get done for that day. Even if that day for me is a day of writing, I can just get it done. But the days that I don't put God first, I am tired. I'm a little bit slow. I'm a bit dysfunctional. I have days when I just can't get it together, and everything seems to be a problem for me. And so that's what I've learned from personal experience. But there's something about closing your eyes at night and before you go to bed, it's not about kneeling down by your bed and putting your hands together and repeating the same repetitive thing. When you close your eyes of a night, just thank God, just meditate on him for a moment. Thank you, God. Thank you for the day that I've had. Thank you for the family. Thank you for the blessings. And I promise you this, when you go to sleep, having settled your spirit with God, you will awaken of a morning thinking about God.
Wow.
You either wake up and you're singing a song. I've woken myself up singing before now. Thank the Lord, it's not audible. It's not audible. It's not audible. I think we'd have separate bedrooms if it was audible. It's not, but it's in my spirit. Or I wake up praying and I'm praying for something. Now, one of my favorite things to do, this is just an honest moment. I like to get into bed and I like to have half an hour, 40 minutes just watching a movie, a Netflix movie or something. It's the only time of my day that I ever sit down. Don't do it every night, but it's when I stop. And sometimes I just want to just put a movie on or put something on. And I got into this series and it was all about Vikings. And honestly, I was watching it till late at night. And I was actually, to be truthful, I was fascinated in the history of it. And, but I woke up of a morning, I was fighting Vikings in my head. I was sailing ships.
That is so
running
true,
through the woods and combating and doing battles. And I got to a point where I was like, God, where are you? And I really felt the Lord just say, I'm not your priority when you go to sleep. So I'm not your priority when I wake up in the morning. And so
I don't want to be
in a Viking battle when I wake up of a morning. So we've got to get back. We've got to just prioritize him. Last thing at night, first thing of the morning. And then he just becomes everything in between those hours.
I never even thought linking night and morning. That's so true. The amount of times I wake up and you do think, or even dream, I dream about what I've watched, on a movie. And you go, what happened there? So that's so good. let's end on this. You know, Matthew 6:6, it does talk about how we should pray.
Yeah.
But make that, bring that to life, bring some practicalities to it, especially to the woman listening who's like, she's busy, she's got kids, she's working, but life is busy. She doesn't get a minute to herself. Like, how do we just find that time or carve in that time for prayer?
Yeah, it's important. Building a relationship with your spouse, for example, when life is busy, you've got young children, you're working, your husband's working, you're running a ministry in the church, life gets really mm-hmm. busy. And so you don't always get to go out on the date nights, mm-hmm. perhaps that you would want to go on. You might do every once in a while, but you don't want to go a full day without grabbing your husband, yeah. having a hug, mm-hmm. giving him a kiss. It's just that coming togetherness.
Yeah.
And I think that's how life is between us and God. We have to know that God is fully aware of our life and our life placement. And he wants you to be able to give him what you can. He doesn't want you to give him what you can't, but he does want you to give him what you can. It's a little bit like the story in the Gospels of the widow's mite. That's what the story is called. It's called the widow's mite. And it's about Jesus stood at the back of the church, as I'm going to call it, watching people putting in, he's back at the temple, he's watching people putting in their offerings to God. And people were putting in quite substantial offerings. And then a woman comes forward and she has two mites. And if we think about it, it's 2 pence. Mm-hmm. And she goes and she puts her 2 pence. And the story Jesus drew from that, what he saw was he said, this woman has put in more than anybody else. Now, in terms of money, she had not put in more than anybody else. But in terms of what she had, she'd given everything. Whereas other people might have been putting quite a lot in, but you weren't making the sacrifice she was making. And I think that's so true of us today. My life placement's different to yours, yeah. Meg. Okay. So I am going to have more time to be able to spend with God, mm-hmm. but it doesn't make me more holy or more close yeah. to God because I got to spend a full half hour reading my Bible and praying mm-hmm. and you got to spend 10 minutes
yeah.
because our life placements are different. God just wants us to be able to give to him what we can. Yeah. And honestly, I know for as raw and as real as this is, but quite honestly, I know it's a podcast for women. And so I'm just going to go yeah. there and say, if that means you run in the bathroom and you sit on the loo and you lock the door yeah, for 5 minutes,
absolutely.
You know, those kids are going to be all right for just a few minutes. Yeah. I mean, you have to run to the bathroom, right, during your day. When you put the children down for a nap, yeah. when you're on the school run, go do your school run 5 minutes earlier. And just, I remember doing this with my children. I was pregnant with one and I had two at primary school. And I remember doing the school run, but being 5-10 minutes early and just parking up in the car and yeah. breathing
yeah,
and praying
mm-hmm.
and just breathing and praying because that's where I could find time in the day.
Yeah.
And so we find it easier to find excuses than we do to find time.
Yeah.
But God's not fooled by our excuses.
Yeah.
He knows that he's given us all the same amount of time in the day.
Yeah.
And there is a place and there is a space that you can create just to be with him.
Yeah. I love that, Em. And you know, speaking from a mum who's in it with the little ones, you know, for me, I've learned just to embrace the chaos in it. Like, you can't always have your candle and your hot drink and your Bible out. Do you know what I mean? Relaxing music. As much as yeah. I'm so full that yeah. I'm such a candle on as soon as my Bible's out.
Yeah.
But I've learned, like, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do it in the morning. It's going to look chaos. The kids are going to be running around me, but I've got my Bible open. I'm sitting down. And my littlest one, she still thinks it's okay to climb on the table. So she'll like walk on the table around my Bible and be like, mommy, I want breakfast. I want snack. I want toast. I want this. And I've learned, I'm like, you know what? I give myself longer. So I will be sitting there from like 6:30 a.m. till 7. It's like half an hour.
Yeah,
I might only read a couple of verses, but I'm like, you know what, God, you see me, you see, I'm here. I'm willing. I'm ready to hear from you, God, but you see my season. And I'm like, you're not going to not speak to me because my kids are running around and disturbing me every 2 minutes.
Absolutely.
And I'm just like, and actually I think there's an example in it. If we're always doing it away from the kids, if we're always reading or praying away when they never see it, how are they going to learn how to do it, you know.
Absolutely.
My older one, she'll pull up next to me and get her little book out and start, you know, she's learned to highlight things and she just highlights books now because that's what I do in my Bible. So you're teaching them as
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely. My greatest memories of being a child myself, I can remember being, you know, 4, 5, 6 years old and I would see my mum on her knees in the living room and she'd have these great big can headphones on. And she'd have her worship music on and her Bible open in front of her and her backside as close to the fire as she could possibly get. But she was having her time with God. And I grew up seeing that.
Share the story, Emma. You shared this with me when I was early days of a mum and you're explaining it better than me, but you read it in a book, but it's about that wife and the husband, about the wife peeling the potatoes. Share that. It's so powerful.
A great author called Tommy Tenney. And he and his mother wrote a book called How to Be a Kid Chaser and a God Chaser. Mm. And it's many years ago since I read the book. And so forgive me if I don't give an accurate account of how this happened. But in a nutshell, what he said was they had small children. He was a minister and his office was at home. And so he would lock himself away in his office and his wife would be running the house, doing the children. And he had a big decision that he had to make. And it was a big decision that he had to make. I think it was in regard to the church or his ministry. And he didn't know what God wanted him to do. And so he went into prayer and fasting for 3 days. And he said, I just hardly ever came out my office. He said, I was on my knees in my office. Yeah. I was on my face. I was seeking God. I needed to know from God, God, what do you want me to do? And he said, literally on day 3, I just felt like the Lord spoke and I got the answer and I just knew. And he said, I was just so made up that I heard from God. I came out the office to tell my wife. He said she was at the kitchen sink peeling potatoes. And she said, before the words came out of my mouth, she just turned around to me. She said, you know, tell me about that thing that you're not sure what to do. This is what I think God would want you to do. And she told him exactly the same answer that he just received from God. He said he was so mad and he was mad with God because he said, why have I just had to spend 3 days fasting and 3 days praying? She's at the sink peeling potatoes and she gets exactly the same message from you. And he said, immediately the Lord said, because she is not going to miss out because of the placement of life that she's in. She hasn't got the time to fast and pray. She is running the house and looking after the children. But you do have. And because you do have, I expect you to. But just because she can't, she's not going to miss out. And he said it was one of the biggest lessons that he ever learned about God looking at our life placement and asking us to give him what is available to us.
Love it. Remember that story very well. I was like, right, let's get peeling potatoes. Come on, God. Hey, as we close out, I think it'd be nice for you to pray us out, especially as we're talking about prayer and fasting. Maybe just pray for the girls listening. Maybe they're like, they haven't even started fasting, never done it. They might want to take it up and they're like, you know what? I'm going to do it. Like, let's just pray that, you know, God will meet them where they're at and they'll just, you know, enter into a more of a deeper relationship with him through it.
So good. So good. Heavenly Father, I thank you for each and every woman that is tuned into this channel today. Wherever life finds her, God, you find her. Mm. You know her intimately, Lord God. You know the desires of her heart. You know, God, the areas that she needs strengthening in. You know the areas she needs feeding in. So God, my prayer and my ask today is that you would be close to her. But I pray for the women, Lord God, that there would be a desire within them to pull close to you. Lord, that she would not feel like she is on her own, but God, that she would know that she can get into a place of a closer proximity to you, Lord. She can get into a place of intimacy with you where she knows what you think about her. She knows what you would say about that situation. Lord, I pray as we choose to spend time with you, God, that we will not be women of many, many words, but God, we will learn the art of listening, and we will lean in and we will listen closely to your leading and to your guiding on our lives. I pray, God, as we step into 2025, this will be the year, not only that we cried out to the Lord, but this will be the year where I cried to the Lord and he heard me and he answered me. And God, that we would know answers from heaven as we draw close to you. And I pray this over each and every beautiful soul that is listening with ears to hear today, not just to the words that I have spoken, not to the conversation we have had, but they have heard something of you through this talk today. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Oh, thank you so much for your wisdom today. I know I learned a lot from it. So we love you. We thank you. But girls, we want to invite you. Today we've spoke so much about growing in your relationship with God, growing in your intimacy with God. We've spoke about how prayer and fasting can do that. But another way you can grow in your intimacy with God is being in an environment filled with other women who believe in God and the power of God. So we want to invite you, come along to conference. It is our third one going. We are so excited for this conference, May the 16th and 17th in the ACC Arena. We would love you there. Come and get your faith inspired, grow your intimacy with God. It is all about dreams, and we want you to dream again for your life. So message us in if you've got any questions about conference. Head on over to our website, braveheartconference.co.uk. We would love to have you in the room for that. But until next time, take care.